Alrighty. Well, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, whether that means biological fathers, spiritual fathers. Happy Father's Day to you. My boys gave me a great card this morning, and it was pretty awesome. Great way to start Father's Day. This particular Father's Day is a challenging one for me. As you all, most of you know, my father passed away last month. Unexpectedly, there were no imminent health issue that he had been dealing with. As a matter of fact, his last day here with us was a great day. He had just bought a new riding lawnmower, and he was itching to do that. So Friday morning, Mom was awakened at 7 o'clock in the morning to Dad testing out his new riding mower in the yard. You know? And so that was the start of his last day with us. Later that day, they went over to a friend's house, and there were some other friends that had gathered, and you know, they had a nice meal together. They played cards, you know, till about 10 o'clock at night. It was a great day. And he had been telling us, especially my brother, that when it was time for him to go, he wanted to go with his boots on. That was the phrase that he used. I want to go with my boots on. And I think part of that had to do with he had cared for his mother for a number of years, and she had dementia, and she had some health issues that limited her mobility, and she was confined to bed a lot, and she needed to use a walker just to get to the bathroom, and needed help with bathing, and you know, those types of things. And I think that had an impact on him to the point that he thought, I don't want to spend my last years on earth that way. I want to go with my boots on. And so when they got home, Mom went right up to bed, and Dad stayed up to watch TV, which was usual for him. And evidently, he went to go to the bathroom, and on his way back to the living room, had an apparent heart attack, collapsed in the hallway, and Mom later found him the next morning in the hallway. And so, 77, gone. But he went with his boots on. And in a way, I think God honored that desire in him. And so, you know, this is a challenging, obviously, Father's Day for me. He just passed away May 1st, and so here we're just a few short weeks away from that. At his memorial service, I spoke about some of the things that he imparted to me and my brother and sister. And we talked about things like laughter. And my father was known to do outlandish, unusual things that would just make us all crack up. As a young kid, you know, Mom would put us in bed, and he would be doing this like the Ohio State, you know, drum major, dotting the I back and forth in front of our bedroom door. And me and my sister are cracking up laughing, and my mom's yelling at Dad, Tom, let those kids go to sleep. It's their bedtime. But, you know, he just had this knack for doing things like that. That's where I get my crazy sense of humor, is from my father. It was something that he imparted to me. He gave me a real sense of a good work ethic. And I shared about how he did a lot of work on this actual building back in the 80s. And boy, talk about a train wreck. When we got into this building, it was much different than what it is now. It had been like an alternative school for kids who were having a tough time in school. And they did like canoeing trips and camping outings and stuff like that. So they had there were shelves, like metal shelves that lined this room and had all these kind of supplies in. But the building had been abandoned for a few years. And so mice had just infested the place. And there were actually snakes in the building. And I mean, just critters got in here. It was not for the faint of heart. Yeah, Jesus, help us. And so anyway, he did a lot of work to help improve the building along the way. And he instilled that sense of good work ethic into me and my siblings. And then I shared about spirituality, how he imparted this sense that God is a priority in his life. And he imparted that to me as well. Whenever, again, we got in this building and it was just the train wreck that it was, I remember him sharing about him and my mother. He had been fasting for a period of time, And on Halloween night of 1985 or 86, Mom and Dad came here to pray in the midst of all the stuff, all the camping stuff. Mom said, if I see one snake, I'm out of there. Well, they didn't see any snakes, but they came and they prayed and they interceded that the work that God was planning here would affect this community. And so he imparted a sense of spirituality to me and my brother and my sister as well. Many good things that he imparted to me. And that's the awesome potential power that we have as fathers. We have this amazing ability to impart things to our family. Now, do mothers do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I could share much about how I feel my mother impacted me in a positive way. My grandmother, other, you know, significant women in my life. Absolutely. But today's Father's Day, so we're going to talk about dads, okay? Is that okay? Can you give me that latitude? So fathers have this amazing opportunity to be a positive influence in their family. They're going to be an influence regardless. Regardless, they're going to be an influence. It's a matter of whether it's going to be a positive influence or something else, right? So think of Paul when he writes to the Corinthians. We can even turn there if you'd like to in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't know. Do I need to move this at all? Is it just going to be one of those mornings? Should I just switch to maybe this one? Okay. Well, you guys let me know if I need to switch mics or not. If it gets too annoying, just give me a heads up there. Because I can hear it buzzing in the background up here, but maybe it doesn't. Is it good? Okay. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes in verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Paul had founded this church in Corinth. And so he very much had a heart for the people at the church in Corinth. And he wasn't writing to them as just church members. He was writing to them as his beloved children, right? And that's what he says here. For though you might have 10,000 instructors or teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. Think about that. You can have 10,000 teachers, but you don't have many fathers. Teachers are integral to God's plan for church government. I mean, teachers are part of the fivefold gift to the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Teachers, we need teachers. We need to have good teaching. But we can have 10,000 teachers. But if we don't have many fathers, we're missing something. Because as much as a teacher can impart to us, as much as a teacher can give to us as the church, if it's only teaching, there's something that we're missing that only a father can give. Right? For though you might have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. This is what a father can say to his children. Imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Timothy wasn't obviously his biological son. He was his spiritual son, and Paul had poured into Timothy as a son, and now he's sending Timothy to the church at Corinth, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So there's something that a father can give us that a teacher can't, and that's no indictment on the teacher, right? The teacher's called to do what he's called to do, which is different from a father. We need fathers. Fathers can encourage. Fathers can at times challenge us in a way that we need to be challenged. And we see Paul do that very thing in the next few verses. He says in verse 18, "Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power." And he's having a pretty frank conversation with his spiritual children. "I've heard some things of what some of you are saying. You're a little puffed up. You're a little too big for your britches. I'm coming. And I'm not looking for the words that you're speaking. I'm looking for something else. I'm looking for power." And he's challenging his spiritual children the way that a father does. And this isn't a challenge to, "See, I told you you weren't, you know, what you thought you were." It's not a challenge to rip people down. It's a challenge to pull people up short because you're walking down a bad path. And I love you. And I'm trying to prevent you from walking further down that path. I love you as a father. You're my spiritual children. All the power that fathers have. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And here this spiritual father is imparting to his spiritual children. And he's challenging the way that a father does challenge. Some other ways that a father can influence, in just a practical sense, in families, right? Does he provide for his family? Right, typically that's a role that the father fills in a family. Now, do mothers provide? Absolutely, they do. Again, we're talking about fathers today, okay? So, so does he provide for his family? Does he cause his family to feel safe because they understand that my father is my protector? That's a role that the father fills. Now, if a father is fulfilling these roles, does that impact the family? Does that impact the children? Obviously. A father is providing for his family. Now, when we're little, we don't understand the responsibility of that. We don't appreciate what dad's doing for us. But as we get older and we look back, we appreciate how he was a provider if we had a father that was a good provider. Probably as a protector, we understand that at a younger age, you know? Like, I'm scared of the dark when you tuck me in and turn all the lights off in my room and I'm 6 years old and 2 minutes later I'm in mom and dad's bedroom telling dad that I'm scared, right? Like, we understand the protector part a little bit earlier than we do the provider part. But if a good father can console his child, can show that he's a good protector, will that have an impact on the child? Yeah. Conversely, will it have an impact on the child? Oh my gosh, I think that was a wasp. Watch out, I think there might be a wasp flying around. Do we have a good protector father? There we go. All right, Pastor Van, our protector. Yes. He smote the wasp in the Lord's house on Father's Day. Yes. Our protector. Yes. So, if a father is a protector, is a provider, that impacts the child. If the father is not a provider and not a protector, what effect does that have on the child? Does it affect the child? Absolutely. In a negative way, right? If they have a father who doesn't protect them, maybe they really are fearful all the time, or most of the time, right? Because they don't feel that they're in a safe place. Because I don't have somebody that's looking out for me. I don't have somebody that's protecting me. The role that the father should be playing, if he's not fulfilling that role, that has a very negative effect on a child. A father who's not providing for his family, and the family's always in lack, and the family's always in want, and they never have enough of anything Because again, the father's not fulfilling his role as provider. That impacts a child. That helps develop a certain mindset in that child that probably gets amplified as they grow up in that home. Right? Fathers have amazing potential to influence in a positive way. They're going to influence regardless. And if they don't seize the moment, if they're not intentional about trying to influence in a positive way, they probably will have a negative influence and affect that entire generation. I'm not trying to be a downer, but I'm just trying to explain to us, you know, there's consequences for being a good father and not. Amen? And we have the power to do that. You know, thirdly, a huge way that a father impacts his children is through imparting a sense of identity, right? Does the father encourage his child? Does he praise the child? Or is it every opportunity he gets, he's telling the kid why he did something wrong, and he's critical all the time, and he's tearing down? There again, a father's going to have an impact, positive or negative or somewhere in between, right? We have amazing potential to impact our family in a positive way. You know, if a father is always critical, always pointing out their shortcomings, never giving praise for the good decisions they make, these thoughts can become prevalent in that child's mind. And then thoughts like this begin to develop. Well, I always mess up. Well, I always make the wrong decision. Well, I'm a nobody. I'm a loser. You know, when you have to walk on eggshells around a person all the time, that has an impact on you, doesn't it? And maybe there are some here this morning that are saying, well, I don't have to imagine what it's like to grow up because you're explaining the home that I grew up in, whether it's folks here live or on the replay on the website. Perhaps you grew up in that home. And I have good news for you. That's not the truth of who you are. That's not who Father God says you are. And there's a way that God can come and bring healing, and there's a way that you can step out of that negative mindset and into the truth of who you really are. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And of course, the flip side is so true. When you have a father or a father figure in your life who believes in you when you don't even believe in yourself, what amazing confidence does that bring to you? I think I've shared before here that I preached my first sermon in my grandfather's church down in Kentucky. And you want to talk about knees knocking and body trembling and, you know, really not feeling great walking into this situation. That was me times 10. And I did not have very much confidence in myself. Amazingly, my grandfather had very much confidence in me. And that confidence that he exuded had an effect on me. And before, when I was thinking, there's no way I can do this, being around him and just kind of sensing the confidence that he had in me influenced me. And I started thinking, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do this, and maybe I can do a half-decent job with it as well. That's the power that we have as fathers, to impart that kind of confidence, right? Sometimes a father sees potential that his son can't even see. And it's the father that draws that out of us. And we do things that we never thought were possible. The power of a father. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3.
So Jesus, the things that he did as a man, totally dependent on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So he's baptized, right? So we're here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did that do for Jesus to hear his heavenly Father speak those words about him? Did that have a positive or negative impact on him? Oh my gosh. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do you think that caused some confidence to rise up in Jesus? The affirmation that Heavenly Father says, I'm pleased with you. This is your identity. You're one in whom I'm well pleased. You're my son. What amazing impact those words from God the Father had on his son. And evidently, God the Father felt that Jesus, his son, needed to hear those words. If Jesus needed to hear those words as a son, how much more do we need to hear those words from our earthly father and from our heavenly father? We need to know our true identity. And a father can impart that to us. You're my son. I'm well pleased in you. I love that. I love that. And it was a good thing that God the Father spoke this to Jesus at this moment. If you go just to the next verse, verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Isn't it ironic that right before that happens, Father God makes sure that he speaks true identity over Jesus? Why? Because you're going to need to remember who you are as you go into this trial, as you go into this wilderness, as you go into this temptation that's coming. You need to know who you are, your true identity. You need to know that you're my son, and I'm well pleased with you, and I'm always with you. Right? We need to hear those words as well. We need to know who we really are, and a father can impart that true identity. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, fathers can remind us of who we are when we're going through the tough time, when we're going through the struggle, when we're going through the difficulty. It's a father who can remind us who we really are. So here again, Paul, writing to his spiritual son Timothy, says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Again, he's writing to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Timothy's going through some stuff, right? Have you ever gone through some stuff? I'm going through some stuff right now. That I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Listen, Timothy, I know you're going through some tough stuff, but listen, my son, this is who you really are. You have genuine faith in you. And not only that, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Listen, Timothy, you're a man of faith. I know you're going through some stuff right now. Remember who you are. You're a man of faith. God's with you every step of the way. And not only that, you have this legacy of faith that's been passed down through the generations in your family. Draw on that, Timothy. Understand what you have available to you. This is your true identity. This is who you are. Don't let the voices in the midst of the difficulty try to change your mind of who you are. You're a man of faith. And walk in that faith, man of faith. Don't walk listening to the voices that are trying to tear you down and trying to get you off course. You're a man of faith. This is your true identity. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. This is what you have available to you, Timothy. You man of faith. You man of God. This is your true identity. Walk in this. And a father can remind us who we are in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the difficulty. Consider the parable of the prodigal son. We all know the story, how there were two sons, and the younger wanted his inheritance now, went and blew it on prodigal living, and ended up feeding pigs, and finally came to himself. And he reasoned in his mind, I'm no longer worthy to be my father's son. I'll just go and beg him to let me be a servant. And of course, he had this whole thing memorized in his mind that he was going to say to his father. And how did the father respond? It says, when the father saw him far away, the father ran to him. Right? And he hugged him and he kissed him. And the son, the prodigal, tried to go into this memorized speech that he was going to give his dad. And the dad wouldn't even listen to it. The father wouldn't even listen to it. Right? He just blew right past it. He said, this is my son. Bring the shoes. Bring the robe. Bring the ring. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. This is my son who once was lost and now he's found. And fathers have the ability, again, to remind us who we are. Even after we've made poor decisions, horrible decisions, horrible life choices, a father can remind us. When we think we've screwed up so bad that we're not even worthy to be a son anymore, it's a father who can remind us, you're my son. I know you've made some bad choices. You are my son. And a father has the power to bring us from a place of, like, we feel totally decimated. And those words from a father restore us and put us in a totally different place. We have such power as fathers. So what do you do when you didn't have a godly father who gave you a positive sense of self-worth or identity? What if your father caused you to feel like a failure or less than? Here's the reality. We all necessarily deal with this at some level because none of us had the perfect earthly father, right? So at some level, we're all dealing with this. The negative impact that our earthly father had on us. And there'll be some work involved to come out of that negative mindset, right? Can God change it in a split second? Absolutely. What I have found in my life is more the case is that he gives me some truth and that he asks me to renew my mind on that truth. That I'm not unimportant. I'm very important to him, right? And as I'm transformed, as Hebrews says, as I renew my mind in that truth, and I'm able to fuller walk as a son of the Most High. That's more how I've found those negative mindsets to be dealt with in my life. Now, has there been times when God has spoken something to me and it's just radically shifted my thinking? Absolutely. Absolutely. More times than not, though, it's been this process that the Lord leads me through. And it takes some work. And it takes some time. And it takes some effort. whenever the Lord takes us through that process. And there's a responsibility on my part, right? It's kind of one of those things, I'll get out of it as much as I put into it, right? If I don't put anything into it, guess what? I'm not going anywhere, right? The more I put into it, the more I get out of it, though. And we can help, or we can be transformed through that renewing of our mind, and again, walk fuller in the sonship that God has available to us. I want to wrap up our time here shortly, but first I want to share about an experience that I had recently. I had a mini sozo recently, and the Lord met me in a powerful way. And again, for those who might not know, sozo is an inner healing prayer ministry. And the goal is to help us have better connections with the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And a lot of times the way that that's accomplished is through dealing with our wounds, our hurts, you know, brokenness in us, and lies, things that we're believing that are not true. I mean, in just a real nutshell, that's what sozo ministry is. And so I had a mini sozo recently. How many people, just out of curiosity, how many people have had a sozo before? Have you had one? Yeah, a bunch. Okay. I've had many over the years, and this one was very powerful. The setting was like up in the mountains, and there's like a campfire with like rocks in a ring, and the fire's in the center. And there's like these Adirondack chairs around it. And so Father God is sitting on this one chair, and I'm sitting on his lap, and I have my head on his chest. And it's such a precious moment in the presence of God. And I won't go into all the details, but there was this thought that I had that I'm not a success, or I'm not successful. And it was based on like some financial goals that I had set that hadn't been realized in my life. And so as a result, I'm not successful. I'm not a success. And Father God, as I'm sitting there on his lap with my head on his chest, he says, Kurt, you're a success because I say you're a success. Whoa. Father God says I'm a success. I don't need any other reason to call myself a success because the creator of the universe calls me a success. He says, how could this not be successful? As I'm sitting on his lap, head against his chest, he says, Kurt, how could this not be successful? And Father speaks identity over me, and I'm radically changed by that. That's the power that we have as fathers. And I just want to kind of make that available to anyone who maybe struggles with those types of thoughts, those types of negative thoughts. I'm not a success. I'm not successful. I'm not whatever, fill in the blank. I just encourage you to draw on that, because I really felt like the Lord said to impart that to others as well. And so I just want to impart to you, you are a success. Because Father God says you are. Regardless of what you have accomplished or what you haven't accomplished, regardless of the goals that you've met or haven't met, you are a success. And so I just speak that over this house, that sons and daughters of the Most High, you are a success. You are successful. You have a place in the Father's heart. And as you're in his presence, as you're enjoying that sonship, that sense that I'm his daughter, I just want to ask you, how could that not be successful? Yes. Yes. You're a success. You're a success. Because Father God says you're a success. So I just want to wrap up, and Pastor Steve, if you have anything as we get ready to close, okay. If you would, just stand with me, and we're going to close with a word of prayer. And of course, as I've said throughout, you know, Today's Father's Day, so we're focusing on fathers, but trust me, women, you have the opportunity to impact others in a powerful way and do these same things that a father does as well. It'll sound a little different coming from a mother, but does it have impact? It has tremendous impact. And so I bless the mothers as well, biological, spiritual, all that. So can we bow our heads and pray? Father God, we thank you that we're your children. We thank you that we're your sons and daughters. We thank you that you are imparting true identity to each one of us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive the identity that you impart to us. Lord, that we would not walk in less than who you say we are. That we would not believe the lies that others have spoken over us, but that we would walk in your truth. And that as we do that, realize that the truth is setting us free. This is a tremendous place of freedom that you're inviting us to walk in. And so, Lord, we say yes and amen to all that you have for us, specifically in the area of identity. And as we receive this sense of true identity, Lord, cause it to get stronger, cause it to increase, cause it to overflow to the point that now we're imparting that true identity to others. That as we freely receive, we have such abundance of that understanding of our true identity that now we're imparting it to others. It's overflowing. It's spilling over. It's affecting coworkers. It's affecting neighbors. It's affecting family members. It's affecting friends in such a powerful way. This sense of true identity that we have received from our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that you call us a success. You call us a success. And Lord, we just rest in that truth and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming out. Again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and you are dismissed.